Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
I see someone pouring burdens out of their soul, just burdens coming out of the soul. You're leaving them before the throne, leaving them there. Someone here that God is restructuring things in your life. He's restructuring the way you think. He's rebuilding something that was broken. He's rebuilding and restructuring. He's putting things in order for you. You couldn't do it, but he can do it in you. There's something that was out of order, and God is setting it straight for someone. It's been out of order for a long time, and you've tried to fix it, but you just weren't able because it involves other people. But I saw the Lord take a crooked thing and set it straight and put it in order as only he can. I'm reminded of John the Baptist saying, make straight paths, but he's helping this person who I'm talking to, he's helping you to make straight paths. He's putting it in order. There's someone here, you've had things in your life that have been out of order. I don't know what this means, but since you were 8 years old, something happened when you were eight that, like, your entire road was knocked sideways. And it seemed like it, this is a strange word, okay, but it seemed like it never quite got back to center because of some things that happened to you. But I saw God take that and straighten your path as though it had never been made crooked. And obviously at eight it wasn't you, it was something that happened to you or your family. But God is making straight paths for you. He's undoing what only God can undo. Some of you are getting new thinking. I heard rethinking. It's almost like if you went the wrong way in a road and then you realized that you went the wrong way and you had to back up and take a different turn. This is like that, but in your thinking. I saw your thinking stop, go backwards, and start again in the right direction. Rethinking. But it's God helping you. God giving you the thought processes of God. Because where you think, that's where you go. Where you think, how you see in your mind's eye, where you think, that's where you go. So don't allow yourself to think dangerous thoughts or wrong thoughts. Don't allow it. Whenever you find yourself thinking wrong thoughts, back up and take the straight path. Because where you think, that's where you go. So, thank you, Jesus, for your glorious presence. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about something, and God told me to start by telling you in Psalm 139, is this... Okay.
So, it's very... The fans are too high.
Okay.
We put a ticket in, but we don't know what that means.
Okay. Okay. But can everybody hear me? There's, like, up here, there's a strong echo. Is it okay?
Oh?
Okay. Can you hear, or is it too? Yeah. Okay, thanks. Okay. Well, maybe if I talk slow, it will be more clear. I don't know. But Psalm 139, we've talked about this before, but in Psalm 139 it says, the number of my days, it's talking about how you formed me in the womb, right? How, when he formed you in your mother's womb, it says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. It says that when he formed you, it says the number of my days were written in your book before one of them came to be. So while you were yet in your mother's womb, and in fact, I think even before you came into your mother's womb, the number of your days and things about your life were written in the books of God. And it says that in the end, books, plural, will be opened. Books, plural. Now, some people believe that that includes your book and my book. That means that there's certain things that were written about us that were things we would hopefully walk into. Some people call it destiny or identity or the plan of God. And so I heard Kevin Zadi say an interesting thing. Well, let me back up a little. Some years ago, I had a God encounter where he showed me a room in heaven, and he told me it was my room, my area, he called it. And there was a wall of books, many, many, many books. And I didn't know exactly what they were, but I knew they had to do with my life somehow. And when I heard Kevin Zadi say this, he said that when you pray in tongues, your books come from heaven into earth. As you pray in the Spirit, things come from heaven into earth that are part of your identity and your destiny and who you are to become. In other words, you're praying your plan. You're praying your plan into being. You're releasing heavenly things about your life into the earth, and many other things too, okay? But I said all that because I wanted to talk. If you were at the seminar we did, was that only Saturday? Good heavens. Feels like a year ago. But I made mention of something real lightly, and I want to go into more detail about it. I talked about our life is like a building. And the reason I say that is that when I was a young intercessor, I was in my 20s, and I was a prophetic intercessor, and I was learning how to spend time with God in prayer, how to pray in the Spirit, and kind of come into agreement with whatever God wanted done in the earth. And I was learning how to hear and how to walk with him and what prayer was all about. And so one day God spoke to me and he said, when you pray like this, you're building your building. Your life is like a building. And a lot of people, you know, I taught this once and I actually had slides. And the first slide was this kind of rickety lean-to, like this old shack that was leaning. And see, because we don't always see in the Spirit, we might just go through life reactively, praying over whatever happens to us, you know, whatever's going on in our family, whatever's going on with our job. Oh, Lord, help me, there's this situation. And we pray about whatever's going on, trying to just stay afloat, right? And that's good when you're first saved, but as we grow in the Lord, as we mature in God, there's supposed to be, if we grow up a little bit in him, we're supposed to make a transformation into beginning to build his kingdom and his ministry for his glory. And our focus is supposed to shift off of us, but onto him. But a part of that is we need to become the citizens of the kingdom that can be used of him to build his kingdom. So that's a part of it. And so your building that you are building in prayer, right, that is to be the temple of God in the earth. And so I want to talk a little bit about building our building in the Spirit. And actually, there's a number of buildings in the Spirit. I want to give you a couple scriptures. And so in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. Another translation says, his co-laborer. You are God's field, God's building. So the fact that he's a co-laborer means you can't do this by yourself. You can't build your own building by trying to figure it out or be a good Christian. But he also will not do it without you, can't do it without you. You have to both be working on it because you need to be relating to him in the Spirit to hear the plan and not just what the plan is, but how to work it out, okay? So when we talk about being led by the Spirit of God, we're talking about getting to know him in relationship. It's just like if you and your spouse were going to go to dinner, if you're friendly with one another, generally there's a conversation. What do you feel like having? Boy, I really feel like chicken tonight. Well, where would you like to go? Well, I don't know, honey. Where would you like to go? There should be some kind of give and take where you both are making a decision together, driving together. Well, being with God is like that. God will help us to know what to do, and then he'll show us how to do it, and then he'll give us the details or the anointing or the grace to do it. So we are not doing it for him by our knowledge, but he is doing it through us or with us. And I believe that's the difference between success and failure in pretty much every area. That sounds a lot better. So I don't think we can go off and do things for God very well. So 1 Corinthians 3, now that scripture was in the middle of this. I'm going to read a bunch. And I know you know these scriptures, but Paul is talking. He said, I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. By the grace God has given me, Paul is saying, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Now, he's actually talking now about building the church or building the church in you. Someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. I'm going to tell you about both buildings here, but the one we're really dealing with tonight is your life, the building that you are building in your life. So whatever they build with, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, in the end of time, it says, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but will still be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. So what he's saying is, what you build, we all will pass through this, right, when we cross over. But what we built, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll burn up, but we'll still be saved. We're still loved. We're still getting in. He loves us. He will love us no less. However, if we can build something of gold, silver, and costly stones, it will not only go through the fire, but it actually brighten up. Okay, it will be revealed with fire. The fire will test. Oh, I read that. Okay. Now, my point is this. I've always believed that wood, hay, and stubble is when we build stuff off our own thinking, our own idea. We get a big idea. I had a big idea once. I thought it was such a great idea. It totally wasn't God. Edgar and I were living in a community where there was a large population from another country. And we had a friend that was a translator. And my big idea was we should have a service and this guy can translate. And we'll put flyers up and we'll invite everybody and it'll just be this great service. Well, you know who showed up? Edgar, me, and the translator. And you know why? It wasn't God's idea. It was me having this great idea in the flesh. It didn't work. So, bad idea. And so that was wood, hay, and stubble, wasn't it? It's never going to, you know, I don't get any tickets for that when I go to heaven because it was my flesh. So, but I believe that the gold, silver, and costly stones or gems are the times when we sat with the Lord and said, what are we doing here? Show me what to do. And then here's something. Don't just show me what to do, but once I've kind of seen a piece of that, how do I do that? How do I go about that? And what do I do next? Okay, I did that. Now what? And I think that is him being a co-laborer with us and us building something that will stand the fire. Okay? Now, it talks about in the next scripture is verse 16, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. So my point here is, I know there's probably more than two buildings. In fact, I know there is. But the two that I have the most revelation of is the building of your life and the temple we are being built together into a holy temple of the Spirit, which I'll read that in Ephesians 2. It says, this is 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So you are a living stone, and we might say you're building, you are a living stone or a stone in a much bigger temple that's part of the global body of Christ. So people you don't know, probably people you don't like, hello, that are part of the same building you're part of. And I know some of you heard this years ago. I kept trying to do something. You know, sometimes God speaks in parables, and sometimes when he gives you your assignment, it'll be a parable. And one of the parables I had was that many people kept giving me this word, and I kept seeing it, was they would say, I see you pregnant, but it's not a baby, it's a ministry. Well, I had seen that many times. Well, being me, by the time it was done, I had turned that baby into, worldwide revival, because he didn't tell me what it was. And one of the things about God is he doesn't reveal the whole thing day one. We want him to. We want him to say, hand me the book. Just give me the whole book. I'll read the book and then I'll do it. He's like, no. What he does is he gives us a bit at a time and a piece at a time, and he sees what we will do with that. And he's never done it, but he's certainly never done it with me, where he just said, here's the whole thing. Because we're growing in something, and he needs to see that we grow in it. Because he needs to see if we can carry what we're supposed to carry. So he watches what we do with, the first part and the second part. So he gives us pieces at a time. Well, I think you got the part about the living stone. I'll just give you 1 Peter 2, 4 through 7. Coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by people, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Okay, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Yeah.
Can I ask a question really quick? Okay, so actually, could you back up about the living stone?
Yeah, so I'm trying to say, I'm probably not saying it right, there's basically, I want to talk about tonight is the building of your life. That you're, as you pray, as you seek the Lord in relationship, if you do nothing, you worship him and you love him, but you don't work with him, he doesn't just come in and build your house. So for me, that was never enough. Okay, a living stone, the second building is that we are all being built together as a temple of God. So the body of Christ is being built together, made of living stones. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. So is the living stone us individually and the collective body of Christ as like
the temple is
to build the temple?
Yeah. Yeah. So the living stones are us, and Jesus was the initial cornerstone. The apostles are the foundation, but we are living stones, and we are all being built together into the temple of God. Okay. So unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So I'm getting ahead of myself, but one time a pastor came to me and he heard a clear word from the Lord to start a church. And he started the church and he had all these strategies that were bright ideas, like my bright idea about that meeting. And it failed utterly. The church utterly failed. And he came and he was brokenhearted and he said, did I not hear God right? I said, you surely did hear God right. But you tried to build the house for him. And that's the problem. He doesn't want us to do Christianity for him. He wants to do it through us and with us. Because for him, the more important thing is your relationship and your walk with him. The togetherness. That's what's important to him. And when we get that right, he will work with us to build each thing. You know, he will work with us where to put the foundation, where to put the mortar, where to put the kitchen sink. Okay. Hebrews 11:10, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. The New Living said, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And I think for me, I remember, and I know you've probably heard me say this, but when I was young and I ran across the scripture where Paul was able to say, Paul knew he was getting ready. He knew his life was winding up soon. He didn't know how long, but he said, I've finished my course. I fought the good fight. I ran my race, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I remember thinking, wow, he knew his course. He knew what his course was. So he was able to say with confidence, there, I did it. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I built my building. I did what I was put on this planet to do. And for me, that was like, I have to know why I'm here. I have to know what I'm here for. And I have to know in the end of my life. I don't want to get to the end of my life and have done all these things I think are great, but they aren't the thing that the Lord wanted. For me, that was a thing. And so I really went after God. I really need to understand, why did you make us? What were you looking for? What did you want? What pleases you? Paul's calling was nothing like our calling. There's nobody like Paul. And yet somehow, because he spent years with the Lord before he started ministering. Years. Had these experiences. Remember, he said, I know a man, talking about himself, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He had these encounters with God where things were revealed to him that were so heavenly. And he said, I didn't go to flesh and blood to confirm them except a few weeks. Remember that? Well, he had spent his time seeking the face of God to get who he was and what he was here to do. And he changed the whole world. Paul changed the world. He's still changing the world today. I used to not like Paul very much at all. I didn't like him. I thought he was a grump. I thought he didn't like women. Now I wish I could be like him. Getting to know him better through the things he has written, I wish I could be more like him. Paul, somewhere in his encounters with God, he pressed in. And he wasn't content to just start ministering. He had to get the whole plan from God. And that took some years, didn't it? And so he got something that he was able to bring back to lay the foundation of the church. We're still reading his words today and considering it as breathed by God. And so there's something about that guy. And when I read that he had done, he felt like he had accomplished what he was put on earth to do, that did something in me. And I thought, I'm not anybody. I'm not anybody. I'm not an apostle. I'm not anybody. But it is still important to me. And I think you're probably just like me in that it is important to you to say, you know, there's a lot of stuff we deal with every day that we think is a big deal. Stuff with our family, stuff with our house, stuff with our bills. We think it's a big deal. But in the big scheme of things, when we cross over, a lot of that we won't even remember. It won't even be here nor there whether this or that happened. A lot of that stuff, it won't be a thing. What we will care about is, did we please the Lord? When he opens our book, will he be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, look at that. Here was all this stuff written about you, and you brought it from heaven into earth, and you built that building. I mean, to me, that would just be the living end. So when God started to talk to me about a building that he said, and remember now, I was an intercessor, so my only job at that time was just to pray. My only job in God. And I knew I was going to preach someday, and I knew that wasn't going to happen for a while. But my current job, and I took it very seriously, was my job was to pray. Now, that's not everybody's job, okay? But my job was to spend a lot of time with him in prayer, and I will call it birthing things, because what an intercessor does is they birth things that are in heaven, and when it's prayed through, it comes into the earth. That's why someone who is able to travail, okay, travail, if you look it up, it's Paul says, I labor in travail until Christ is formed in you. He was literally entering a place of prayer and travail. The definition of it is agony like a woman in childbirth. Now, there is a place in prayer where a deep groaning or weeping can come upon you. You can't manufacture it, but when it happens, it's a high honor. It is not easy, but it is an honor and a privilege if God gives it to you. Don't just say, oh, this is too hard. I'm going to the kitchen to get cupcakes. No, pray it through. And if it takes a few days, you just keep after it until it's broken through, because you are birthing something or someone's soul. Listen, there's a scripture that says sons and daughters will not be born into Zion unless Zion travails. Sons and daughters won't be born unless Zion travails. So there is some things in the spirit. If you're praying for someone to change their heart, don't just pray lightly. Go before the Lord and ask him to gift you with the grace to pray that through. Okay? Because sometimes there's a war in their soul and you don't know what it is. You don't know what their roadblock is. You don't know what argument they're having with God. You don't know what their thing that they've rejected Christ. You don't know, but there's a reason. You know, when I was young, it said I didn't want somebody else to be Lord of my life. Thank you. I wanted to be my own Lord. I'll make my own mess, and I did. But some people have strong reasons for their addiction or their other relationships or running from God. Do you ever know a runner? Do you ever have someone you're praying for and you just can't understand why they just resist God? Listen, sons and daughters are born when Zion travails. Go before the Lord. Or even if it's not about salvation, even if it is about, even if you've been praying for your spouse or you've been praying for your kid and you're not seeing the breakthrough and they have an issue, don't just pray lightly in English and wonder why it isn't happening. Go after the thing and go after it in prayer. Go after it. Ask God to gift you and grace you with a power of prayer that will birth the thing, and you'll be amazed at what you'll see God do. My mom was maybe the most stubborn woman on the planet. I mean, she was a great lady. My mom was amazing, but she was really tough. And she had grown up in the split off of the Mormon church. And you talk about somebody that would not have a discussion about God. We're not having that discussion. Don't bring it up. Don't talk to me. So I said, okay. But I went to prayer. And I just prayed for my mom in the spirit, just kept praying for my mom in the spirit. And what God would do is I knew not to talk to her about God. I knew she was not open to this. But I remember being at her house, and she was there, and my brother was there, and this conversation happened. It happened so fast, I didn't see it coming, and it was like this door opened. I said something like, whew, and like the door opened and then shut. And I was like, what just happened? Because it was so God. Well, God had prayed that through. But over time, he was working on her issue. She had an issue in her heart about Christians. And so God kept dealing with it. And before she passed away, my mom began to have encounters, real encounters with the living God. And she would call me and tell me about it. And, you know, I'm really thankful for that. But prayer is the way to get things done, if you're frustrated with why it isn't happening, is it God's will? If it's God's will, spend time on it if it's important. If it's someone's soul or their freedom, their deliverance, spend time with God and get his heart on the matter. What is he trying to do? And then if he will allow you to, some people aren't ready, and he'll even say, there's times when he said, no, wait, don't. Because some people have to go through something first. You know, I don't know why, but some people have to hit their head on a very hard rock 14 times before they finally say, okay, now I'm ready. And he'll say, okay, now pray. I know that's odd, but it is true. We don't know what's going on with people. Okay, hallelujah. How did we go there? Okay, so when God began to deal with me that our life is like a building, one of the things he showed me was a picture of a vacant lot. It was full of junk. And he said, if that was your lot and you wanted to build a house, and it had like these big boulders, junk, tractor parts, some of them were like half buried. He said, if you were going to build something there, if you were going to build a decent building, the first thing you would have to do is clear that lot. Get the junk out. In other words, if you try to pour a foundation over a tractor part that's half in there and a boulder, you're just going to have a mess. So what's he saying? Work on getting free. Work on, well, I'll say it this way. That's what he was saying to me. Work on getting free. Work on getting your junk out. Work on getting delivered, okay? Work on getting free and clearing that land so clear that then you can go to him and get the plan for that foundation. Then you can begin to pour the foundation, and then you can begin to, you know, people start, do you ever see somebody just take a tacky old house and just tack up a couple of more boards, right? And it's just junk, isn't it? And it won't stand, listen, it won't stand when the storms come. And so I think sometimes we've been content to just kind of go along, you know, because it's easier. It's always easier to do nothing. It's much easier not to pray. It's much easier not to fast. It's much easier not to really take to task. And here, you know, C.S. Lewis talked about the tyranny of the urgent. The tyranny of the urgent is things that are always in front of you. They have to be done, they have to be done, they have to be done, but they're not important. And so urgent things tend to come in front of important things, but they're not really as important. And so there's times when we have to say, I'm sorry, urgent. You're just going to have to wait while I go deal with what's important. These are eternal things. And in the big scheme of things, to me, it is much more important to make sure that I'm able. And everyone may not have this heart, okay, which I get. But I hope that God gives you this heart, because I really think I want everyone to stand before the Lord and be able to show gold, silver, and precious stones, and him go, wow, look at that. Even though he really did it through you, you know. Paul said that the works that he did, Christ did through him. He said, it's no longer I, but Christ, it's Christ in me. The things, he did amazing things over and over and over and over and over. And wouldn't take the credit for it, because he knew that it was really only the grace of God using what he called the chief of sinners. He was a bad guy. By his own admission, he was a bad guy before he got saved. Chief of sinners. He kind of was. He was a stinker, religious stinker. And yet, by the grace of God, God took his life out of the ashtray and turned it into something for the glory of God that would change the history of the world and the history of the church. Now, that's just a big deal. And I'm just going to say this to you. Who are you really? And have we been so interested in the distraction of the day and the tyranny of the urgent that we haven't really stopped, pulled back with God and said, Father, can you just show me? You know, I don't mind if I'm the least of the least of the saints. I don't care about that. I don't care about being important. I don't care if I'm never seen. I'm okay if I'm just, if God says to me, stop ministering, you're just an intercessor, not a problem for me. Not a problem. Because I don't need to be a minister, because that's not my identity. My identity is I'm his. My joy is my time with him. That's my joy. This is not my joy. This is more like work. It's okay, and I'm thankful. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful that I'm allowed to do this, and trust me when I say it's only by the grace of God that he even lets me do this. But Paul understood that. But here's what I wanted to say. God will use you to do something you can't do, don't have the ability to do, and he'll do it well, and then in the end, he'll give you credit, as he'll reward you as though you did it, even though he did it through you because he knew you couldn't. Did you guys hear that? This is really good news. Because one thing I learned early on is God would always ask me to do things I can't do. I don't have the ability to do that. Didn't want to do it, was afraid to do it, had fear to do it. I had to do something recently. I'm not a fearful person, but I'm going to tell you. I had to do something recently, and I was scared. Because it was very, very hard and challenging. And I spent a lot of time in prayer saying, God, you know, like, don't leave me now, hallelujah. And I really called upon the grace of God, but here's what I learned. He never, ever says no to that prayer. And what you're saying when you ask him for his grace is you're saying, I don't really have the ability to do this, but you do. Would you do it through me? Would you do through me in a great way what I can't do even in a lousy way? And I've seen him do it again and again for years. Never says no to that prayer. So a lot of times I'm faced with something I really can't do, and I'm like, God, help me, and he'll just show up and do it. And then he gives me, you know, it's like a reward, like he blesses me as though I had done something right. It's kind of funny, really. Okay, so let's say you're going to clear the land, this vacant lot, and you're going to lay the foundation. Then the next thing we need to do is we need to get the blueprint from God. Now, Moses got his in a course of about 40 days. Most people don't do that. I never have been able to go in and get the whole thing. But I think it's because it was Moses and he was the prophet of God who was going to write the Torah. So I want to talk about this. Moses, so to get the blueprint, we have to do what he did. Moses went up the mountain and spent time with God. So I believe we have to go in a way into God's place or spend time with him. And it's not for a day. It's like, for me, this has been going on since I was in my 20s. I'm still going in. I'm still learning new pieces of my house. I'm still learning new additions, new decor, there's a new hallway here. I'm still learning because as I do the last thing he told me to do, he says, okay, good, now let's do this next thing. So Moses, I'm going to read this to you. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I think I mentioned this before, but I heard a man talking about this, and he said because of Moses' persistence, he got the blueprint, or he got the plans for the tabernacle. And that really struck my heart, because one of the things about God is when you start to come into his presence, if you haven't, I'm going to tell you, there's times we love his presence, right? But there's times when you'll enter his presence and you want to go, okay, that was good. That was really great to see you, Lord, and I'm just going to go now, because it's hard at first for our flesh to dwell in the presence of God. And so even if you've been around a while, even if you've been around the block a couple times, there's times when your flesh will want to say, okay, that was good, amen. I spent my, 45 minutes or whatever, we're good, okay, right? And we want to flee, but you know what? There's a moment where you can say, even if it kills me, as I'm staying in this place, even if your presence is so much that I combust, I'm going to stay in this place. And if we will do that, then there's always more that comes. And see, God didn't even talk to him. It says he was there for, did I read that part? He was there for 6 days, and on the seventh, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. And then Moses spends 40 days and 40 nights. See, because Moses wouldn't quit, he received something. Okay, so I'm just going to say this happened to me. I was just telling Kathy, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. If you know me, I mean, I sleep like a brick, okay? I mean, I'm out. I do not, don't wake me up. It's not happening. And when God would wake me up, I'd be like, I love you, Lord. You know, I just am not good at that. But I had a dream, it was middle of the night, and it was a terrible warning dream. And I knew it was a severe warning. It was really severe. And so I knew this, if I lay in bed, because, you know, if it wasn't so severe, I might have been tempted to lay in bed and pray, and I'll tell you exactly what would have happened. I'd have been straight back asleep. I also knew it was such a severe warning that I thought if I go out and sit in the comfy, cozy reclining chair, I will also fall asleep because I was really tired. So I literally stood like this. And I thought, I am not laying back down and I'm not sitting down until I know that this is prayed through. It didn't take that long, but I did pray it through. See, because if what I saw in that dream had come to pass, it would have been really bad, and I wasn't willing to put up with that. So when his presence comes, or when I should say a better way, when you go into his presence, the more you do it, you'll find it gets stronger and stronger. You'll find that his presence becomes stronger and stronger. But God wants a people who will acclimate themselves, who will say it's worth it. Acclimate yourselves to his presence. I know I've been in revivals where people couldn't stand up under the presence. They're falling and they're, you know, walking around like they're drunk. And that's all good. But God wants us to get to a place where we're so strong in the presence that we can still preach, sing, cooperate with God, okay? We need to acclimate. Okay. Build, this is Exodus 25:9. This is actually right in the process of what's happening with Moses. Be sure you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you on the mountain. In other words, what I show you when you're on the mountain of God or when you're in prayer with God, if I show you something, first of all, I'm just going to say, as a seasoned old saint, write it down because you think you're going to remember. But here's what I found. When you're in the Spirit and it seems so real and you come out, you're now in the flesh, sometimes you can't remember until you go back in the Spirit. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I remember things that I had forgotten. Has anybody else had that happen? I know at least one person has. We talked about it. You're in the Spirit. You see something. You're like, oh, man, this is so amazing. I'm never going to forget this. You go out and you can't remember it. So I keep my phone. I'm not a good, I don't like writing. So I record stuff on my phone in my keep notes. So I have 8 zillion keep notes. But they're there somewhere. So be sure you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. So it comes one piece at a time. If we are faithful to clear the land, then we will come into the understanding of what kind of foundation to build. If we are faithful to build the foundation properly, he will give us the general blueprint for framing it. He's not going to give you, unless you're Moses, I think. You know, you could be different than me, but I believe that God, that it's biblical. The sense of the Bible is quite often he will prove us and test us in the peace he gives us. And you should in your life, if you're walking close to God, you should have awareness that there are times of promotion, and you'll get to where you can almost sense, oh, there's a promotion in the Spirit here. There's something greater. And it's because you've been faithful at the level he gave you, okay? When you're faithful at one level, he'll watch you for a while because we just want, you know, we're just so, you know, just give it to me, Jesus. I'll do it, right? Come on, Jesus, just give it to me. But a lot of times some people haven't, but for me, I always had a desire for his presence to be allowed to funnel through me, okay? Because I was raised up under that kind of teaching, that we are carriers and releasers of his presence. And so in order to do that, though, our vessel needs to be changed, right? Our land needs to be cleared, we might say. And sometimes there have been people, even in recent times, who have operated in miracles, they've operated in glorious things, but their vessel had not been changed. In other words, they never went to the effort to get delivered and deal with their stuff. And so they started to move in the things of God, but their stuff was still moving too. And so they became famous, and then they got busted because they never dealt with their stuff, and it brought reproach on the name of Christ and on the body of Christ, okay? And that should not be. That should never happen. And it happens, though, not condemning anybody, I'm not judging anybody, but I'm saying it's really worth the time it takes to get free. Yeah. Get yourself delivered. Get your junk out. If you have a critical spirit, if you have a judgmental spirit, if you have an unforgiving spirit, if you have rage, deal with it. But God will help you. He will help you if you just honestly go for him and say, I've got a problem. Lord, I've got a problem. I don't even know how to deal with it. Would you help me? Would you deliver me? Would you set me free? And just keep going before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because you want to have a vessel. Now, no one's perfect, but I'll tell you what, you can get delivered of those things that you know are a propensity. Okay? Everybody's got them. Maybe somebody doesn't have them, but I don't know anybody. But we're born and we live a life and then we come to Christ. And during that life that we lived, I don't know about you, but I collected a whole lot of strongholds. And I knew I never wanted to be like one of those people that was used of God and then didn't have my stuff dealt with and brought reproach on the name of Christ. No, thank you. I'd rather never be used. And so I went before the Lord and I said, I don't care what it takes. Get the junk out. Get it out. I want delivered. I want set free. I want my heart right. I want it purified. I want to have pure motives. And you know what? He takes that literally. He takes that literally. And he will help us. You know, we can't even set ourselves free, but he will help us. Okay, as we're faithful in the framing, he'll give us the rooms. There will always continue to be more, at least in talking about my life. I'm still seeing new additions. I'm still seeing honestly, there isn't a year that goes by where he doesn't say, okay, good, now we're going to do this new thing. And I think, I don't know how to do that. And he's like, yeah, I knew. You've never known anything yet, right? But I'm building a building that I want to live in. And if I was able to do the last thing and do it well and do it faithfully and not try to think I did something right, because I know that I didn't, then he says, okay, here's somebody. This is what he wants, is someone that can carry his glory and never take the credit for it. Never act like they did something right, because the truth is, we never did anything right. It was all his grace. But we have to have that revelation. Amen?
Amen.
And there will always continue to be new rooms, new embellishments. Okay. This is a work. To me, we say a lot of times, we throw around these phrases like in the flesh or in the spirit. So I want to try to make that easier. In the flesh means you figured it out in your own mind, or you did it out of your own emotions. That's your soulish realm, not your spirit realm. So you figured out a great idea, like my idea for that meeting was a work of the flesh. That means it was a holy idea, not a God idea. When we say the words in the spirit, it means we are doing it out of a relationship, time spent with him, where we went before him, and sometimes it takes some time to get an answer, and that's okay. You know, God is not in as big a hurry as we are.
Yeah.
You know, we want to see stuff get done. We want the ministry to, you know, that book written or that whatever it is we're doing, we just want it done, you know, because then we will have accomplished something. But God is much more interested in the relationship and the journey, and out of that, he will do the thing. So he's not in a hurry. He's not stuck on a time clock. So if you've been pressuring yourself or pressuring God because you thought that something in your life should happen sooner, step back and spend time in relationship with him and say, what are we really doing here? Because a lot of times what he's doing isn't even what we thought he was doing. That's always fun. It's always fun to be really focused on something and spend time with him and have him say, that's not what I want to do. At least not right now. I want to do this other thing. You say, but that doesn't feel as important. That doesn't make me feel as great. It's a small thing. Yeah, yeah, well, that's what I want. And so spending a lot of time with him in relationship to get a sense of what he's really trying to do. And if you don't hear from God well yet, A, you will, and B, he will still talk to you. And I'll just give you an example. Recently, I was on a Zoom call with a whole bunch of people, and at the end of the Zoom call, this man I don't even know said, you need to start dreaming again. And it went thunk. Now, I knew from the thunk in my heart that that was an arrow from God, that God was telling me, you used to dream. Now I did all that stuff. You better start dreaming again. I knew God was telling me something. Within the next 2 days, like three people said that phrase. And I was like, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. But I'm not even sure, like, where to start here. Because, you know, we've been doing this stuff a long time, and I feel like you're doing all these things. It's so great. And I was sitting in a meeting, and the guy was talking about something else, and suddenly it just came, like, clear. Oh, this is what you mean. This is what you want me to do. So clear. And yet I did not hear his voice, but God was speaking. God will speak to all of us in these ways, okay? Okay, I shared all that. Amen. So I think I basically shared the idea. But does anybody have any? Yes, ma'am.
So I just, that was so good what you just shared. So an arrow went in a Zoom call. God said, dream again. It went in your spirit. You knew it was you, at least you. And then three confirmations. But what I love is you didn't, like, jump ahead and go dream, and go try to dream. There was a time lapse there, and then you were suddenly in a meeting that had nothing to do with dreaming.
But I did ask the question, because I remember thinking, I don't know where to start here, you know, because my thing is, what do you want? It doesn't matter what I want, do you want? And so I was kind of like, just, you know, give me your dreams and I'll try to, I don't know. It just wasn't clear. And so I was like, could you show me, you know, so to me, that's the biggest part of relationship. Can you show me, like, I don't know what you mean. How do I do that? Can you help me, you know? And then the answer comes. So yeah, then at that point, I'm in a meeting and the guy's talking about, I don't know what the guy was talking about. And all of a sudden I just saw, oh, okay. Interestingly, I'll tell what it was. I had been having some encounters with God that were just amazing, but I would see, like, things he wanted to release in the ministry, and I thought, yay, and it's just going to start happening, and it didn't. Like, I just thought, there it is, there it isn't. And I said, God, you know, I know that was you. I know that was a you encounter, no question. And he said, I was showing you what I want to do, but you have to pray it in. So when, and I had like six of those, six different things that basically he had shown me, but they weren't manifested. And so when this guy's talking, all of a sudden I went, oh, all those things you showed me in the dreams, they were like dream encounters, those are the things you want to do. Those are the dreams I'm supposed to believe for. Yeah.
So the meditate part, the imagination is a big key then, right?
Yes. It's huge. The imagination is the seed bed kind of your future. So a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so does he become. And, you know, all this talk, there's a lot of talk about speaking it, but I actually think part of the power why we need to speak things into existence is when you speak it, you also see it. You almost can't speak it without seeing it.
Oh.
And so, I'll just be honest, when I was very young, I heard a guy talking about this, and I just thought, oh, that's mind control. You know, I just totally rejected it. But I was totally wrong. Over time, God began to show me that when you have faith, where it happens is your imagination. It's where you visualize. It's where you see. Like, you cannot write a book if you haven't first seen it in your mind's eye or seen yourself writing. You can't go to the store unless you've seen, you can't go there unless you've seen yourself going there. So, yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, or them who are being made holy. We're in the process of being made holy here. You know, we're already perfected in our spirit man, but we got to be pliable to being made holy. Because we'll never arrive. We're always going to be in that, in the process, our soulish man. So, you know, that's what came to me when you were talking about, you know, get the junk out.
Yeah. And I think...
That's a process, a lifetime process.
It's a process, and because some people say, well, I'm good the way I am. This is fine. I can be just like this, but you'll be stuck forever until you go, you know, I think this is holding me back. So for me, I was always taught to be really proactive, get it out of there. But I see people stuck for years going around the same mountain because just, and it's not that God wouldn't free them, but there's a process of us going before him and saying, help me. I don't even know how to get free from this, but if you'll help me, I can get free. And then there's like this back and forth relational thing of getting free, and then you go to the next mountain. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.